All right. Well, we have a special Mother's Day message today. It's for our mothers. It's really probably for our women in general. But I wanted to take a break from the Sermon on the Mount for this week and just share something special for our mothers and for our women. So women, I don't know if you can identify with this, but I would imagine, because I'm not one, but I'm not. I get the impression, though, that women, you are burdened with a ton of expectations. Does that sound right? A ton of expectations. And I get the impression, ladies, that you perhaps simultaneously feel, especially moms today, you feel like maybe you're doing everything, maybe you're doing too much, and simultaneously not doing enough. I don't know if that resonates with any of you, but I hear from women sometimes like, I'm doing so much, maybe as a mother, as a wife, as a worker, as a daughter, as maybe a caretaker for someone that in our lives who needs care. And so we feel like we're doing so much, but at the same time, there's this feeling that we're not doing enough. And in each of those areas, like, yes, I'm a mom, but I wish I was doing more with my kids. Or yes, I'm a wife, but I wish I could spend more time with my husband or maybe give them more attention. Or yes, I'm working, but I wish I could really dedicate more time to career because I'm not really getting as much out of that as I want. Or probably, and I think this applies to everyone, I wish I had more time for myself, for rest and a little self-care and to just kind of take care of me because women and mothers are often so busy taking care of everyone else. So I imagine maybe for many of you, there's this feeling that you're doing so much, but at the same time, never quite doing enough in each of those areas. And there comes with that all of these expectations. There are tons of expectations that women deal with every day.
Well, Pastor Dan, you know, men have a lot of expectations too.
It's not your day. All right, guys, I'll get you next month. I got a whole separate thing for you guys. All right, today is for the ladies. But ladies, you deal with so many expectations about how you look, expectations about how you dress, expectations about what you should sound like, expectations about career, and should you work or shouldn't you work, or expectations about family and expectations about marriage and expectations about kids and when you should have them and how many you should have and once you have them, how you should raise them and what you should feed them and what you should not. And there's all of these expectations that we put on women and our mothers. And I hope, my hope today with this message, ladies, is that you will understand the difference between the world's expectations and God's expectations. You might say, oh, my husband has these expectations, my kids have these, my boss has these expectations, the world has these expectations. And some of those, yeah, I mean, we need to take into consideration. Some of them are valid. But ladies, I hope today you are reminded to look at not just those expectations that are put on you, but what does God expect of you, ladies, mothers? What is God's expectation for you? Because I know all of those types of expectations I just explained, it can be very easy to miss what God has called you to. And what God expects of you, because all of those other voices are so loud and so heavy and so persistent, and they come with these feelings of shame and guilt and insufficiency and insecurity that it takes up so much space in our mind that I can understand why sometimes, ladies, like you kind of have lost sight, perhaps, of what God has called you to, what God has designed you for, and what God expects of you. So my prayer today, my hope today, is that we get some perspective. What is God's expectation for you, ladies? Now, I also know typically for Mother's Day and for anything having to do with Christian women's ministry, it's like, this is beautiful. It's flowers. You're going to get one later, so that's coming. But it's flowery, right? And it's pastels, and it's this, you know, everything Christian women's ministry especially, it has to do with the flowery and the pastels and the colors and it's light and it's airy. And for men, it's very much the opposite. For men, it's two things if you want to reach men. Men's ministry, it's either all about military. Every men's conference I've ever been to, it's got like a military battle, war theme, or sports. And those are the only two ways that you can talk to men, apparently. Like a few of us, we went to a men's breakfast yesterday, and the speaker is a cool guy. He's a 2-star army general that led this talk. And I was like, that's impressive. Like, that's not the only person that I would listen to, but like, that tends to be for men. It's either military or sports. And for ladies, it's always pastels and flowers and dainty, you know. And if that's your jam, great. If that's your thing. But I also know for a lot of women, sometimes the sort of the branding that comes with Christian womanhood, it doesn't quite resonate. You might sit down, look, I'm not the type, I don't like to go get my nails done. I don't go do my hair. I don't have, you know, a very stylish closet. I don't like to bake. I don't like to cook. I'm not into all of these traditionally feminine things, and I don't really feel like I identify with this. Look, I don't have a career like Oprah. Right? I don't host like Martha Stewart. And I've got a social battery that lasts about this long. I don't want to host people in my house. I don't like that. I don't want to walk out in a dress with a tray full of muffins. Is that okay? And the answer is yes, that's okay, ladies. That's okay. Those are not biblical expectations. I say, Dan, I'm not Susie Homemaker. Maybe you've never been married. Maybe you didn't have kids. Is there space for you in biblical femininity? You bet. You might look at something, and thousands of churches across the country today are probably preaching out of Proverbs 31. The Proverbs 31 woman. It's a good model. It's biblical. But I also feel for women who say, like, I don't really see a lot of myself in the Proverbs 31 woman. It's like, I don't have a husband who sits in the gates. I don't have children who rise up and bless me. I'm not entrepreneurial. I don't know how to sew a button. I don't know how to cook. I don't know how to do any of those things. And so I realized for many women that the Proverbs 31 woman, it's great, but you may not see yourself in that type of role, in that sort of version of womanhood. And I want you to know that that's okay. There's more to biblical femininity than just Proverbs 31. And we're going to touch on some of that today. Perhaps you are not the Proverbs 31 woman. There is an alternative. There is? Yes. Perhaps you are a Judges 4 woman. You know what I'm talking about? No? You're going to love this. Turn with me to Judges chapter 4. We are going to read the entire chapter of Judges chapter 4. It's a great story, and it features two women named Deborah and Jael. Deborah and Jael. They are not, at least in this story, what you would consider traditionally feminine in some of the things that they do. But they are women that God called to certain roles and certain purposes in their time. And so I hope this is at least an encouragement for you ladies to see that there are some women who are maybe not so dainty and flowery and all of that. So let's look at this story in Judges chapter 4. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ahud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera. Sisera's a bad guy, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. So let's give a little bit of context, these first four verses. At this point in Israel's history, there is no king. They do not have kings at this point. They've never had one up to this point in the book of Judges. What they have are these judges. And judges is not quite a king. It's not quite a president. But there's sort of these people that God put in a position to kind of rule over the children of Israel. Now, there's this theme, if you read the book of Judges, like chapter after chapter, of like sin, the people fall, God brings a judge, they're restored, they sin, they fall, God brings a judge, and time and time and time again, it's like every chapter starts the same way. And the people did evil in the sight of the Lord, the people did evil, the people did evil. And so you see, again, as chapter 4 opens, once again, the people do evil. The children of Israel, good guys, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. And God oftentimes, in Judges and throughout the Old Testament, God will bring in enemies and let them just wreck Israel to teach them a lesson. And this is one of those cases. And so then it says in verse 4 that at this time, there's this woman named Deborah who was appointed a judge over Israel. So that's a little bit of the context here. So Deborah in verse 5, it says, she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw towards Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and of the children of Zebulun. So for geographic context, some of these locations we've talked about, they're mostly like northern Israel near the Sea of Galilee. Zebulun and Naphtali are two of the 12 tribes of Israel, and particularly the northern tribes. So those are the tribes that live up in that area. So Israel this time was broken into 12 tribes. Zebulun and Naphtali were two of those tribes. And so Deborah says to this guy, Barak, she deploys him and says, look, go amass an army out of these two tribes. In verse 7, it says, I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera. I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, if thou will go with me, then I will go. But if thou will not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. So let's look at this woman, Deborah. She is basically, she's amassing an army. She's putting this army together. She's deploying Barak to get all these people together. She's a general of sorts. This is part of her job as a judge, that God has put her into this particular position. And she says, look, get the army together. I'm going to take you to Sisera. But Barak, I want you to know, you are not going to be the hero of this story. She says, the enemy, Sisera, is going to be sold into the hand of a woman. And the end of this chapter is like, watch how. Just watch how. So in verse 10, and Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with them. So she is leading this army of 10,000 men. Now Heber the Kenite, or the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent unto the plain of Zanim, which is by Kadesh. And they showed Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, was gone up to Mount Tabor. And Sisera, the bad guy, gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him, from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river of Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor and 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his host with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Harosheth of the Gentiles. And all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Howbeit, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael. This is the second woman we're going to look at. The tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, For there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, turn in, my lord, turn to me, fear not. And when he had turned into her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. Again he said unto her, stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee, and say, is there any man here, that thou shalt say, no. Ready? Some of you know where the story is going. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. Ladies, don't tell me you've never thought about taking a tent peg. You're sick. Between Deborah leading this army as the judge of Israel at the time and this woman Jael, who takes a tent peg and a hammer and just kills a man with it. Wow. Perhaps not your traditional, dainty, gentle, I don't know, maybe they were, but wow. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said unto him, come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Well, it's an incredible story, and not the typical women of the Bible. Like, they're usually in there. They don't quite fit the mold, do they? Now, here's what I'm not trying to say. I'm not trying to say, look, see, you're Deborah. You're Jael. That's not what I'm saying. It's a misreading of Scripture for me to say, look, see, to read you into the story, that's you. You see, that's you. It's not. Deborah is Deborah, Jael is Jael, and you are you. But here's what I want to encourage you ladies with today. That's what they were called to do and what God empowered them to do in their place, in their time, in their context. That's great. Ladies, what is it that God is calling you to? And I mean that broadly, generally speaking, as women, but also specifically as individuals. What is it that God is calling you to? Now, I could pull up a bunch of verses about what biblical women should be like, and I could just read that to you, but I think it would be far more advantageous for you, ladies, to go find it for yourself. I don't want you to hear what I have to say and believe it because, oh, Pastor Dan said it. I want you to see it and believe it because the Word of God says it. And so, ladies, if you haven't, go to the Word of God and see, what is biblical femininity really? Is it baking and getting your nails done and wearing pretty dresses? Not really. There's much more in the Word of God about the character of a woman, the heart of a woman, the grace that she carries, the example of Jesus that she follows. Now, if I were to say, ladies, like, what is it exactly that God is calling you to? Maybe there are some things that God's calling you out of. Like, hey, maybe it's time to take a step back from some things that you're over-invested in. Or maybe there's some things that God is calling you into that maybe you're hesitating on. But if I were to ask, like, what is it that God's calling to you or calling you to? I know for some of us, maybe the answer is, like, I'm not really sure. I haven't checked in a while. Take some time today, this week, and probably on a somewhat consistent basis to check in and, like, here, like, God, what are you calling me to as a woman of God right now? What is it that you're calling me to? for some of us, maybe it's like, I've actually never asked. I've actually never asked God what he wants to call me to. This is a question that we should all ask. Because God's calling for you as women, as mothers, as wives, as all of these many roles that you take and the expectations that are put upon you, some of them, they're legitimate and they're valid, yes. But the most important calling for you, ladies, is what has God called you to as a mother, as a wife, as a worker, as a member of this church, whatever it may be? What has God called you to? I'm not going to go there in the interest of time, but the passage, I'm glad Jamie read it earlier. The passage earlier is a letter from Paul to Timothy, who's sort of his protege in ministry, and he reminds him of some fundamentals. He's like, look, I remember the faith that was implanted in you by your mother and your grandmother. And he reminds him, hold on to that faith that they developed in you. He tells him to fan into a flame this gift that God has given him. And he basically, the point of that passage is that Paul is reminding Timothy, like, the fundamentals of what Timothy is called to, the faith, the calling, the gift, the purpose of God. And I wanted to share that with you ladies today. I want you to do the same thing. There's so much noise and expectations on you. I pray today, each week, each month, you can have some quiet time and ask God, like, God, what are you calling me to? What are you calling me to with my kids? What are you calling me to with my husband or with my work? Maybe it's a time to lean in. Maybe it's a time to pull back on some things. But I will tell you this, ladies, God has a call and a purpose and a reason and a role and a place for every one of you, whether you're a mother or not, whether you're married or not, single. God has a purpose and a place and a reason why he's working in your life. So my prayer for you, ladies, today is that you get in touch with that. God, like, what is it that you're calling me to in these roles? Now, men, you're here as husbands, fathers, brothers, sons. What is your role in this? You have one. And this is for anyone you call yourself a man of God. Here's what it is. As the women around us, our sisters in the church, our wives, our mothers, whoever it may be, as men of God, we have a responsibility that our women feel our hand on their back, encouraging them to listen to what God is calling them to and encourage them to walk in it. So I have a responsibility to my wife, who's, she's homesick, she couldn't be here. But I have a responsibility when I want her to be in tune, like, babe, what is God calling you to? And she's like, I feel like I'm supposed to be pulling back from this. And I feel like I'm supposed to be investing more here. Then I have a responsibility not to be like, cool, good luck. I'm her husband. So my hand goes on her back, and I'm like, okay, if that's what God is calling you to, I'm going to help you. I'm going to encourage you and empower you and equip you to do whatever it is that God's calling you to. So gentlemen, men of God here, can I encourage you? Let's help our ladies. Let's help our moms. Let's help our wives. Let's help our sisters in these churches so they can listen not to the stupid expectations of the world, but the expectations of the good God who created them, and that we would just fall in behind our ladies and encourage them to walk in whatever it is that they've been called to. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray together. Thank you, moms, ladies, all of you. Again, it's just an honor to have you here. Whether this is your first time or your millionth time here, it genuinely is an honor to have you. God created every one of you special for a purpose, and God treasures you. And if you're here today and you're just like, look, I'm not a Christian, I'm not into any whatever, I just want you to understand the extent to which God treasures you is that he sent his son to die on a cross for you. Because he wants an eternity with you. Not because of what you can do, or not because of what you can provide, not because of your stuff or your ability, anything like that. Because he's a good father who made you with a purpose, and he wants an eternity with you. The way to do that, simple, by putting your faith in his son. That his work on the cross handles your sin. And so if you need to come to that Father today, maybe for the first time, please come see me, Jamie, anybody. But God loves you, ladies. God bless you. Thank you all for all that you do and just for being who you are. Let's pray. Father, I thank you once again for each of these women. I pray that whatever it is you've called them to, maybe it's motherhood or marriage or career, all sorts of different callings and situations that you call these women to, I pray today that you would just help them to tune out the expectations that burden them, that have nothing to do with your will for them. I pray that you would help them to be sensitive to hear from you about whatever it is you've called them to. I know that you created each one of these ladies for a purpose, for your glory. And so for whatever role these women may hold today, I pray that you would just draw them close. You would quiet all the noise around them so they can hear your calling most importantly. And I pray as a church body for the men here, this church as a church at large, that we would have our hand on the women's backs and that we would encourage them to walk in obedience to whatever it is you've called them to. I pray that as we go out from here, that you would give our women the strength, encouragement that they need. Give them a day of rest, a day of joy with their families. And once again, a comfort for those who maybe whose mothers aren't here with us. I ask you would just dismiss us with your blessing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.